Welcome to The Bible Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible, make a playlist, and introduce ourselves. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Zach Barris. I'm the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Boulder, Matt, where I get to work with, walk alongside of the community students called Bread and Belonging. And I'm back in the sourdough game. That's also a part of my introduction. I'm a sourdough baker extraordinaire.
Back in the game. How long have you been off the game?
Quite a while. Matt, we had an issue here here in Parent Corner where the preschool that my daughter attends for most of the week had a COVID case, not in her class. There's no direct contact. Nevertheless, the school is shut down for 2 weeks. And so it's wrecked my life. And since I'm staying at home, I need something to do. And it's a science experiment that we can do together while her mother works. And so we're back in the sourdough game.
I notice you're not at home today, however.
That's correct, Matt. I'm not at home. I am, as we all know on the podcast, quite wealthy. And the home that I own, I'm a homeowner. The bank says that I own, no, the bank owns the house still. Regardless, Matt, we have been doing some work. And by we, I mean not me, but professionals who know how to do this stuff. Who've been helping us to create a bathroom. Whereas we had what was really a nice bathroom. It was a great bathroom, directly from 1982. Nothing had changed. It had a vanity that was about 3 feet off the ground. So it was perfect for small people. It had faucets that were from bathtubs. So they came directly out over the sink. So the faucets were like even lower than you might expect for a 3-footer. It was falling apart. And so we've got professionals in there, Matt, and you're not going to believe this. Things have not gone particularly well. They needed to dig. They're like, we got to fix. They found a leak, of course. One thing led to another. And now when I left the house today, Matt, there was a giant hole where the shower used to be, where they're eventually going to build a new one. But in the meantime, you know, I've prepared a number of jokes about how, you know, you put the lotion in the basket. Because that's what it looks like we have built in our basement, a deep hole to throw, you know, my captives in.
Well, it sounds like your bathroom is in a liminal space.
Quite liminal, Matt. I'm glad that you appreciate the... I don't know if this is true at St. Mark's. It's true here at St. Aidan's. If we walk around the space, it's like a time capsule. Right? Like I wrote this, Matt's making fun of me because I have liminal stuff written on a dry erase board behind my head. I wrote that in a Bible study, you know, 12 months ago. You go around, there's like a calendar. The week before classes got canceled, we were supposed to like host this big group of students from Iowa State. And so there's like sign up sheets and like, oh, we're going to host like, this is exact. It's like Pompeii, right? Like this is what Boulder looked like on March 15th.
Yeah. We have a big chalkboard in our entry office with plans for the youth fundraiser that would take place in March of last year, written on the chalkboard. Over the last year, that entire room has been remodeled. New floor, new paint job on the walls, new light fixtures. Chalkboard stays the same. Same plan for 2020 written on the chalkboard.
Just going to pick things back up in March. That's my plan. Matt, I did, I've been doing, we've had to shift gears a little bit here. And this semester, I've really been focusing early on and trying to do as many coffees as I can, one-on-ones with students. And I didn't realize this until yesterday. A number of our students work in a hospital. Do you know what that means, Matt?
No.
They have been or will be vaccinated, which means I've got a vaccinated pool of babysitters emerging in my life. Just might be good again.
Well, that's where that story was going. Good. Yeah. Well, Zach, we have a guest on the podcast today.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Carolyn, you're over there. We forgot you were here. Carolyn, this is a very important part of the podcast. It's introductions. Matt is a big fan of this section. I'd like to introduce you, Matt, and all our listeners, to my dear friend, student here at the University of Colorado Boulder. You may know her from playing the clarinet or... walking around Colorado Springs as a human. You may know this person through your time as a freshman living in the dorms at the University of Colorado. Perhaps they were your RA. It might be another way you know them. This is Carolyn Vandiver.
Is this the part where I say hi?
Yes, you can say hi now, and you can say hello to whoever it is you'd like to say hello to.
Awesome. Hi, I think I've been on the podcast before. I have...
You might know her from previous appearances on this award-winning podcast.
From the critically acclaimed podcast. My name is Carolyn. I play the clarinet. I'm getting a degree in it. My favorite joke from the time of COVID is at CU, we can get tested weekly by spitting into a little tube. And then they whiz that off to a lab and tell you if you have COVID, and they might be right or not. And I found that it's quite easy to do that, to spit in a little tube, because I'm quite literally getting a degree in doing that. I can get in and out of there in like 2 minutes.
Clarinet players, incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is like a weird thing about, I think we all remember I was in seventh grade band before I got kicked out of the band in eighth grade. And I played I played the trombone. Mm. Just super weird that like you have to build vowels into them for spit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super gross. Like, I don't think we talk about that enough. Like, what if people who played the piano, like at the end, like it was covered in spit? Surely there are people who do it that way. It's not how I do it. But that would really, like, you'd think differently about pianos if they had like a spit valve.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah,
for
sure. The way that we've been combating like spit valves this year is with puppy pads. So brass players take little puppy pads around with them. And
these are the foot pads of live puppies?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're super absorbent.
It sounds extra gross, but very cute.
Mm-hmm.
So you just like blow your spit onto this puppy pad?
Yeah, that's how it works for...
Or you shove it up in the spit valve. Yeah. What happens to your spit, Carolyn? Let's learn more today.
Trombones, you know, they have spit that goes one way out. But if you play a woodwind instrument, you can have spit go any number of ways.
Just a quick point of clarification. What are the directions that spit might go out of a clarinet? Because in my head, I can only really like imagine one.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you blow into the tube, air goes through the tube, and depending on how the condensation collects on the inside, it can go to different pads or different tone holes. So there's a key that you press with your left pinky, called your C sharp or D flat key. And I get water in that key all the time. So you'll just be playing something, it sounds lovely, great. And then you'll hit that key and it just sounds like you're drowning like a small duck or something. It's a horrible noise, but it can go anywhere.
Matt, I don't know if you knew this, but Carolyn is also, in addition to her involvement with Bread and Belonging, the president of the student group for drowning small ducks here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pond on campus, and they got cool t-shirts. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So CU's way to combat woodwind instruments where you can have spit go in a number of ways is that you have to wear a mask on the end of your... on the end of the bell, on the end of my instrument. There's like 27 other places where...
Yeah, what about the C sharp spit
I know,
situation?
Exactly. But thank God I have a little clarinet diaper on the end of my clarinet bell.
What a time for ingenuity.
Yeah, things I never thought I would have to do as a musician and teacher is figure out how to put a mask on the end of my instrument.
Yeah, that's insane.
I've been asked to do that before, pre-pandemic times, but it wasn't about hygiene, I don't think. I think it was about, quality.
I'm picturing you try to put like a mask over like your banjo.
That's correct. Yeah.
Is it Yeah, it's the banjo that you play, right?
I do play the banjo. Okay. Yes. And I apologize. Typically, when I tell people I play the banjo.
Well, I hope I haven't just exposed you.
No. I think the listeners have been aware in these 230 some episodes that I might own a banjo.
For sure, you play a banjo and have progressed to guitar 2, 3.
I don't know. I've been focusing, Carolyn. I played guitar. I got a guitar. I still have the guitar that I got in like 9th grade for Christmas. And I learned a thing you may not be familiar with, Carolyn, is when I got that guitar in 9th grade, in the last millennia, the internet existed, but it was not the wealth of resources that it is now. So I had to go to Walmart and buy like the guitar magazines. I had to save up my money. I had to find a way to get to Walmart because it wasn't like I could walk or anything. I had to convince someone to drive me to Walmart, buy the guitar magazines, and then I could learn the guitar tab that happened to be in the back of that magazine. So that's how I know I can play Scar Tissue from 1998. I can play, it's some real like bro-y guitar stuff, right? Like Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, I can play some of that stuff, but that's as far as my guitar progressed. I'm fairly proficient on the banjo. And so I've been spending the pandemic trying to use the things that I've learned about through the banjo to bring my guitar playing above the level of a 9th grader without the internet. And we're getting there. We're getting there.
That's incredible.
Well, I am impressed, Carolyn, that you all are even like on site. I pastor a church across the street from USC, and pretty much all my students are not even around. They're doing online classes and living at home and things like that. So mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a different reality at CU.
I think so. I mean, we're online right now until February 15, and then residents will move in like that second week of February. And with so many students that do come from California, like it was interesting to learn about their experiences and how it is kind of a different world over there. But yeah, right now campus is kind of a ghost town.
Yeah, you're welcome for all the students from California. Just, you know.
They subsidize the education of our in-state students. It's very much appreciated.
You're welcome. And we appreciate your water, which we
forgot. Oh, you got it. You got it. Matt, Carolyn is here on the podcast because a tradition, a thing that we've developed over the years that, Matt, literally may be my favorite thing that I get to do all year is we do a campus ministry Sunday kind of thing where traditionally students work together over, you know, a month and a half to write, to do Bible study, to talk and to write and to practice preaching sermons together. And then on one Sunday, they all go out to the pulpits of local congregations to preach that sermon. And so this year a little different over Zoom, so figuring out that has been interesting. But Carolyn, who's done this before, this is not her first rodeo, but this she is one of our student preachers, and they are preaching on the text that we're talking about today for February 7th, Mark. We're still in the first chapter of Mark. It's one of those bits of Mark. But Matt, Carolyn's here to help us better understand the text, help us with some songs, and to tell us about her experience in preaching lab. Matt, I want you to know what this is really about. Carolyn, we have a lot of listeners who are like pastor type people, clergy. We have seminarians, lots of people who do preaching in some professional capacity. And my mom also listens most weeks.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always a weird reminder when I'm talking to my mom. She's like, yeah, I heard about that on the podcast. And I'm like, oh no. And then I like immediately searched in my mind, like, what all did I say on the podcast? What's okay, what's not okay? So I thought, Matt, really, this is an opportunity. I pretend to be Dr. Satterley, Carolyn, who is our preaching professor. We do Bible study together, which I don't think we actually did the Bible study part together. So we do Bible study for a couple of weeks. They wrote sermons. Last night we met, Matt, and they kind of did like a dry read through. And then the listeners, they had to answer a couple questions, Matt. Question number one, of course, did you hear good news? Question number two, what was the good news? Then we do acclamations and we do suggestions, kind of constructive criticism things. The thing that we do differently, Carolyn, that I do not do, that happened to us in Preaching Lab, that you should know happened to us in Preaching Lab, is we did that exactly the way that we do it. You would go into the classroom. Matt and I were in Preaching Lab together a few hundred thousand years ago. And you would preach the sermon and immediately people would clap. You had to clap. Clapping was required. Then as soon as you finished, Carolyn, you had to walk out into the hall by yourself. And you're probably used to this. They do all kinds of mental torture stuff to students over in the music school. But so you finish preaching, you go out into the hall. The professor leads a discussion about your sermon without you in there. Okay. Then the professor comes out and gives you his feedback by yourself, one-on-one in the hall. And then you come back in to have a conversation with the group. I have not yet taken any of the students one-on-one immediately after their sermon and yelled at them in the hall, as happened to at least me and probably other people. So, Carolyn, you're having a very, I think there's a seminary quality without the pain and tears and sorrow. And at this point, you pretend like the pain, sorrow, tears part has not been included.
Wow, I'm so grateful that I don't have to experience that. That sounds traumatizing.
Last night, I did call Abby up immediately afterwards and get on the Zoom, and I yelled at her because I thought that would be helpful. Yeah, I like Matt and I have talked a number of times on this podcast. We can remember very clearly and vividly experiences that we had in Preaching Lab. Because we were getting yelled at, which was
it's true,
is what it
still
is.
Have PTSD. Yep.
PTSD, post traumatic ST. What do you think it is, Carolyn? Post traumatic. Satterly.
Satterly. That's what it was called.
Okay.
What's the name of our professor?
Disorder. It was a D, not a T. Mm-hmm. Disorder. Okay, post-traumatic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Satterly disorder. Mm-hmm. But I got to hear Carolyn's sermon last night. It's good, man. It's good.
Yeah?
It's really pretty. They're all pretty good. I really like all of them. Carolyn's is pretty.
Where are you preaching at?
I'm preaching at St. Aidan's, which is fun. Their priest, Mother Mary Kate, she knows a lot of people that are from my home church in the Springs. So that's going to be really fun. And that's live over Zoom. And then I'm doing a pre-recorded one for Trinity. I don't know exactly where Trinity is, but I looked it up and it seems very pretty.
Yeah, it's downtown, Broadway, and just off the mall downtown.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, should we talk about these texts then that y'all have been preparing?
Carolyn can tell you about it. What I'm excited is going to happen here. Carolyn, we normally talk about two texts on this podcast. We talk about the Old Testament reading and the gospel. Matt, I have kept the Old Testament away from them because, you know, keep it simple. So I'm excited. I haven't really read the Old Testament. I don't know that Carolyn's read the Old Testament. We're going to get to
ever?
Be ever. I've never even heard of it. I'm a New Testament only kind of guy.
Did you know there's a prequel? You were not aware?
Oh, gosh. I really feel like Jar Jar Binks does not belong in the Hebrew Bible. And yet there he is. Have you been watching WandaVision, Carolyn?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's good for you. Good for you. With that, Matt, let's look at the let's record here for posterity's sake. Carolyn and I's first ever encounter with the Hebrew Bible, with the Old Testament.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna look at the Old Testament.
Yeah,
that was your way of sweeping it aside.
No, not sweeping it aside. I'm just saying we've been deep into one text, and now we'll get to see how complementary these texts are.
Okay, well, it comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40. If I was a real biblical scholar, I'd tell you if this is like first Isaiah or second Isaiah. I don't know. Do you know that, Zach?
I'm going to make an educated guess that it is first Isaiah.
Awesome. It goes like this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom, then, will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Word of God, word of life.
And you will hear,
is this what it is? I mean, this is what it is, right?
Maybe.
I don't know. Caroline, are you a big fan of On Eagle's Wings?
Yeah, the last time that I sang On Eagle's Wings was in October. I went to a little party with some friends.
What kind of college parties, Caroline, are you going to where they sing On Eagle's Wings?
Where you're screaming at the top of your lungs. Bring in the house down.
and Eagle's Wings came up at this party, the soiree. Mm-hmm.
It's a bop. I don't know what you're trying to say.
It is. I'm just surprised that the kids these days are jamming out to it.
Well, you should know that some of my closest friends are Episcopalians, and one of my colleagues is a lifelong Catholic, so we
it is about it is about it, yep. It's an earworm. Yep. You can't get around it. What do you got, Matt?
What do I got? I don't have any notes on this one. It's funny, this is my 3 years ago text, and I have all these notes on the gospel, and I got nothing on Isaiah. I don't know what we did we not talk about it.
I don't exactly remember 3 years ago. Carolyn, do you have any, this is your first time, I'm guessing, hearing this, any thoughts, connections that you've made, like, to the gospel?
There's so much more imagery in this one.
Yeah.
The Mark is, that one's pretty dry. There's not, you really have to work to find what's going on.
Yeah, there's almost too much imagery, like from a preaching perspective, like looking at a text. I like this gospel story we're going to talk about in a minute, because it still has like a story within it, but there's still enough imagery around. But this Isaiah is just like image after image after image after image, and it gives you a lot to work with, but it's not necessarily like a story. Story, and I am a sucker for stories. Matt, I love the grasshopper. I don't recall ever hearing this before. And I really regret that, maybe it does, I don't know the words, that On Eagle's Wings doesn't have a grasshopper's verse. Because that, if it doesn't, a listener or a Carolyn, I'm sure you can work it into an academic project to write a grasshopper verse for On Eagle's Wings.
It's funny, we have not sung that song at St. Mark's that I can recall. We do have a another song that we sing that is basically, it's basically these exact words, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's just like those, that verse. I don't know if it's a gospel song or what, but it's a very different song, and it's just biblical. I feel like it's a little less maudlin. But to be honest, the song that really comes to mind is a U2 song called Drowning Man that features these lines as well. So I thought that was the most famous one. No, a U2 song from 1983? A deep cut from War? The 1983 album? No, not
Carolyn. U2 is a band that formed 50 years ago. And some people really like them, and that's one of the people.
40 years ago.
40 years ago.
The other thing that I will briefly mention, I like that you like the Grasshoppers. I do like the Eagles because one of the things that I did during the pandemic hobby, I got into birding.
Falconry?
I've been watching a lot of birds. A lot of bird watching. We went to Joshua Tree National Park this week, and I took pictures of all the birds that I saw. I got really excited to see a raven because they're like, you know, is it a crow or a raven? You're like, no, that one's it's very exciting. Sorry.
How do you tell a raven and a crow apart?
They're so much bigger. They've got a deeper, like,
ravens are bigger
sound. Oh yeah. They're like small dogs. It's insane.
And they say evermore.
And they say evermore. Right. That's Mm-hmm. You got there first. Good. But the other thing that I noticed about this text too, is just, it reminds me so much of the conclusion of Job, right? The book of Job, where God speaks out of the whirlwind. And it's like, basically gives the Maui, from Moana speech, basically does that song. And it's a little bit here, right? This kind of like, I don't know, God is so much greater. And I'm not always sure what to do with that, but it is like a recurring theme that arises in scripture. And here it is again in Isaiah.
Also like that line that talks about the youths, that the youth will grow tired and the young will faint. And I think it, like, so that doesn't sound like good news, which Carol knows is important in preaching, but I think you can flip it away into good news, that it's a bad sign typically when the youth are physically weak, right? When your like hope is tired out. And yet the good news is in this Isaiah reading is that those signs that appear to be signs of hopelessness are not signs that God has failed or that God is not coming, but that even when that happens, the promise of God holds and will be there. So that is hope for me in times when I'm talking to lots of youth and the young people who may be tired right now and exhausted.
Amen.
Also, is grasshoppers an insult here? Like, it sets up like an insult, but they don't like expound upon it. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. By the way, Carolyn, this is a fun one, above the circle of the earth. When the Bible was written, especially this Isaiah, which I assume is first Isaiah, which is in the 8th century BCE, so 2,800 years ago, they didn't necessarily understand that the world was round, right? And it's not necessarily that it was flat, but it was this like, there was this bubble around the earth and like there was water above and below. Anyway, so they're referring, right, the circle above the earth, right, is outside of this like weird bubble looking back on it. So you get this line about how God is like sitting high above and beyond, and its inhabitants are just like grasshoppers, which is said like an insult. But I think there are many admirable qualities in grasshoppers, right? I want to see grasshoppers in stained glass. That's where I'm going with this. Or a tattoo, a grasshopper tattoo that has like Isaiah 40 written inside of it.
As soon as we're able to meet in person, that could be our first B&B activity, is we all go get
tattoos.
We all go get grasshopper tattoos.
We were not fairly close. We were in the neighborhood of like talking people into tattoos in Spain when we walked to the Camino and getting Camino tattoos, but
alas. What would a Camino tattoo look like? Would it just be like a footprint or?
So there are a bunch of different ways you could do it. One of the ways is what I was interested in was an arrow, because you have to follow like these arrows forever and ever. And there's a seashell version.
Oh, and the shell is a big. symbol.
The shell works like an arrow. Matt knows this. I'm not a seashell guy. So that part didn't work for me, but there are also arrow signs that I like that. I could get an arrow tattoo. An arrow tattoo pointing to a grasshopper. We did it.
Incredible. You could also just eat grasshoppers. Like that could be your meal.
That's true.
Very common in Mexico. Chapulines.
Oh, really?
In Mexico. Yeah.
How do they prepare grasshoppers in Mexico?
Deep fried grasshoppers. You get a little chili and lime on there. Oh, yeah.
Deep fry. Matt Caroline lived in Mexico for a while.
Grasshoppers fried up in the market. Yeah. Chapulines.
What kind of sauce do you like? Clearly, you have to like dip them in sauce and just straight eat them. Did you eat them? How do they taste?
I did not.
You didn't eat them?
I'm not eating bugs.
Bugs, they're like little protein.
It's the future of protein.
Theoretically, yeah.
T-shirt, by the way, we just found a T-shirt for the Vinyl Preacher, a Vinyl Preacher T-shirt with a grasshopper. With that, Matt, I think we're ready to hit here. Yeah.
Hey, fun fact, on the Wikipedia page for chapulines, which are fried grasshoppers, I just learned that the Seattle Mariners, because this is also sometimes a sports podcast, successfully introduced chapulines as a novelty snack at their 2017 home games. There you go, Vinyl Preachers.
Oh. Matt, have you seen the John Boys? Have you ever got around to watching that John Boys Seattle Mariners documentary on the internet?
No.
It's incredible. I mean, they are, Carolyn, the worst. I had no idea how bad they were.
The Mariners?
Yeah.
Beautiful stadium, though. Just amazing.
The first stadium was Schitt's Stadium, was the name of it, because they got the team before they could build the stadium, and they added a bunch of bleachers, and it didn't work out because they didn't expand the infrastructure, so they had significant plumbing problems. So, ironically, Schitt's Stadium had a shit problem. And had to shut down a number of times and didn't have bathrooms and stuff. With that, that's the kind of stuff you can get only if you go to the Working Preacher or other. There are other. You're not going to believe this, Carolyn. There are other preaching podcasts. You're not going to get that kind of tidbits. They don't talk about grasshoppers.
No.
Fried grasshoppers in Mexico.
I was thinking about how you're going to get yourself out of a shit stadium. Little piece of information, but you worked it into a plug for the podcast.
See, this is a professional and award-winning podcast. Matt, I have seen, as we're in the interlude here before we get into the gospel, a number of our colleagues, a number of our listeners, Ben Adams has gotten his first vaccination. Robert Abner has gotten his first vaccination. Carolyn, we are still very disappointed that professional podcasters have not been moved up to a higher priority on the vaccination schedule. I've not been vaccinated. Matt, have you been vaccinated?
Nope.
Negatory. Carolyn, vaccinated?
No.
No. See? We are critical essential services. Matt, we are still, it's February now. Welcome to February. We're still in the first chapter of Mark, because Mark is short, but it is so dense. It is the Hemingway of gospel writers. And so, again, we get 10 verses here, but we get two episodes. So as soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, the sons of thunder. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And that evening, at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companion hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of the Lord in three parts, and that's a three-part, three episodes here. in this reading. All right, Carolyn, you've been working with this text for weeks now. What's the deal with this story?
I'm so glad that when we work on our sermons and on, you know, certain skills that come with that, that we usually start with reading it a few times. Because especially with this one, I think you really have to like work and pull back those layers and pull apart the little pieces. I remember the first time we read it, I remember thinking, I have nothing, like, I don't know how I'm going to work with this. Like,
typically the way this podcast works is before we start recording, Matt and I are like, have you had a chance to look at it? And like at least one of us will say, yeah, I hate this text. There's nothing there. And then by the end, we're like, there's a lot here. There's actually a lot here. I really like it. Yeah. So I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So you pull apart the layers. What are some of the layers that you have uncovered in your teasing apart all of the layers of this lasagna?
Well, I think my favorite layer is when we talked about good news, and the good news that I took out of this was there's healing in togetherness and being in community and being with lots of people, and there's also healing in solitude and being by yourself, and I think that has been a helpful layer to peel back from myself to understand that there. The last 10 months, I felt like I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the things that I need are not there when I need for them to be there. And it's a good little reminder that you're here, and that's good.
Yeah, I think one of the big connection for me as we read the Isaiah text with getting to hear your sermon and the work that you and everybody has done is that in the Isaiah text, you get this story of a God that's really big, right? And here you get a story of a Jesus that's also pretty big, right? That can span the gap, or not the gap, but the whole like range of things all across the spectrum, that there's a healing here that happens one-on-one with Simon's mother-in-law. And then there's a healing with the whole town being gathered around the doorstep. And so you get this, I mean, I think the Isaiah reading may have said it directly, right? That there's this God that like stretches out over the heavens. And here you get a story of what that God that, it takes that kind of cosmic idea and like fleshes it out in this world. This is what it looks like for this really expansive God to hold you wherever you are, you know, as you said. The other fun nugget that Carolyn, I think her approach on the sermon has helped me find words for is that my experience throughout in the pandemic these days is that I both like really, really want to be alone and I also really want to be with people. I just don't want to be with the people that I'm around because I've been around them forever. And so that's one of the, I hear that in Carolyn's sermon.
Good. Yeah, I like that connection a lot. I've got, these are my notes from 3 years ago, that when I thought of fever at that time, which was a different time than 2020 and 2021, usually if there's a fever in my house, it meant that the kids had to stay home from school. And so they had to be isolated from their peers, right? And so we see that, like it's right there, right? Like that's part of the implication of that fever. So I'm glad that y'all went there.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit. Carolyn, do you have another thought?
No, I think the only other thing I was going to say, what's interesting, what you just said, Matthew, is, you know, when we were working on these, was it 2 weeks ago? We were talking about the context on either side of where this story takes place. And the next,
gosh, it sounds like these folks do good Bible study, Matt, like really thorough.
It's an interesting parallel how in this one, there someone is sick and they all come together to heal together. And in this next one, where Jesus heals a leper, I mean, that's kind of what we're in right now, where you don't want to be around people.
Yeah. So the other, one of the sermons that students are writing, that Julia is writing, that Matt, I think has a really, I really like the approach on it. What's been really fun about our sermons in campus ministry, our student preaching labs this year, is that folks are doing some like pretty more advanced stuff. I'll brag on Carolyn's sermon. Carolyn's sermon, what's your good news statement again, Carolyn?
There is healing in togetherness and solitude.
Yeah. And so Carolyn's sermon is like really, she does good jokes, Matt. She has good jokes. Also has some good sermon titles that I suggested. You know, Jesus is Hannah Montana. Jesus was the fourth Jonas brother. But then it's really nice. It ambles kind of between like personal experience with isolation that was healing and positive and into community stuff and back and forth. It's really, really nice. And Julia is also, then we've got, you know, a God Dwells in the Darkness thing that you can do here. And there's plenty of you know, resonance with what's going on in the world these days. And that, what Julia is trying to do, I think, or what I heard in Julia, the sermon that I heard in Julia's stuff last night, is Julia's got this good news statement that God heals indiscriminately. Like he's just like Jesus, just throwing out healing there. And contrasting that a little bit with, or what I've encouraged her to do is to contrast that a little bit with the healing that we're doing right now that's not indiscriminate. You know, like podcasters, I think, are in phase three in Colorado of the vaccine priority groups, right? We have a very delineated who gets the vaccine when sort of thing, right? It's not indiscriminate. And then creating some tension about like, well, God here is just healing everybody. And we've got these like this order. But then boom, here's how you relieve that tension. That's that I think is really cool is I think you got to kind of undercut that good news statement a bit to say, no, actually it turns out God doesn't heal indiscriminately. God heals through community. And that's kind of the answer to your tension because you get this story of it's not that Jesus is going around like zapping people that he sees with healing, but the whole community gathers one another. They bring, I have visions here of the paralytic in Luke, right? Of people bringing the sick to Jesus, bringing the people. That's the other fun note about that first episode with Simon's mother-in-law. You know, the way marriage worked in the ancient Near East is that when you got married as the woman, you went to live with your husband and your husband's family. The fact that Simon's mother-in-law is living with him means her husband has died and she has nowhere else to go. She's a widow, right? And so Jesus does this thing isolated, but they bring Jesus to her. Like it's a communal thing. It's the community lifting up the most vulnerable among them and taking care of one another. And so I've been excited about that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I think too, I'm curious about the casting out demons piece as well and how that connects. And the way I'd connect some of that, Priscilla Paris, Austin Seminary classmate of ours, had a nice commentary, not in this text, but on the previous week's text, but it was about casting out demons. And connected it to the casting out of things like racism and sexism and all the different kinds of isms and inequities and injustices that we see, the ways those things seem to possess not only individuals, but institutions and communities. And that's part of what Jesus is doing here as well, is proclaiming something different. When we think about the vaccine coming out, there was an incredible graphic. I'm just name checking all of our seminary classmates. Jess Ebner shared it with Chicago, and it showed like where the greatest COVID deaths had taken place. And then it showed where all the vaccinations had happened so far. And they were opposite. They did not match each other, right? It was incredible graphic to see. And so even in the healthcare system, right? I do, I, I don't know how to tease all those threads out, but I do think that also is part of what's happening here, right? The power dynamics with the mother-in-law, all those things that you just mentioned. There's some, I think in the actions that Jesus is carrying out here, it also makes a kind of statement about the way that God's kingdom works over and against the way that the kingdom of the world is set up. And that's about all that I've got for it. But I think there's a seed there of some systemic things too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, gosh, this is an expansive gospel, I think.
Also, fun fact, since my notes are from 3 years ago, it was 3 years ago, Zach, that we used this text to make our very first Final Preacher t-shirt.
Oh, really?
In the morning, while it was still very dark, wake. He got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed, pray. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons, slay. It was our wake, pray, slay t-shirt. This lectionary text.
I like that you described that as our first Final Preacher t-shirt, because, Matt, it demonstrates the faith you have that there's going to be a second.
That's right.
We do have these cool t-shirt. Well, we did. I don't think we have any more wake, pray, slay shirts, but man, if only Savannah and Tyra had worn them on stage at the youth gathering like they were supposed to, things would have been different. So, Carolyn, now we get to the most important part of the podcast. We know that you're going to bring good songs to this. You're out there being a young person. You're out in those streets, ear to the ground. You're at parties singing on eagle's wings. What are you listening to this week? What songs would you like to put on the playlist for Campus Ministry Sunday?
It's funny that you make the assumption that I
when I think of Carolyn, I think of somebody out in these streets.
Mm-hmm. I need to tell you, I got really excited to go to King Soopers at like 7 p.m. the other day. I was like, yeah, the first time I'd been outside and it was dark in so long. It was just to get like zucchini.
I hear you.
It was hard to think of a song or something to bring, but I remembered that over the summer I was on a big Earth, Wind, Fire kick.
Ooh.
Like every time I got in the car, only Earth, Wind, Fire was allowed, nothing else. And you know, it was like a thing that I listened to by myself a lot, but I think Earth, Wind, Fire is also such good together community music. And when we're able to come together, we're gonna be absolutely blasting Earth, Wind, Fire pieces.
Yeah.
And then the other piece, if you want a bit of the traditional musician side, there's a piece by Valerie Coleman, who is a fantastic living female BIPOC composer. She's incredible. She fairly recently wrote a piece called Umoja, which is the name for the first day of Kwanzaa, and it stands for unity. And it was originally written as a quintet. And I decided to program it on my upcoming recital. Shameless plug for my recital.
Yeah.
This semester. And I'm playing it in a quintet with all of my friends. And it was a fitting piece to program. And I think it was also a fitting piece to bring today. It doesn't exactly fit into the category of songs that Zach gave us examples of yesterday as to what kind of songs you put on the playlist. But it's a good one. It's meaningful.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, Earth, Wind, and Fire as well. You know, I mean, hits the heart of that Isaiah text. You know, Earth, Wind, Fire, big scale cosmic God. It works. Matt, what are you listening to?
What am I listening to? three songs. So I saw that word fever and it made me think of the Peggy Lee song, Fever, mm-hmm. An oldie, but a goodie. He did not permit the demons to speak. And I clearly put this on the playlist 3 years ago, but I'm gonna put it on there again. Don't Speak by No Doubt, because I'm a 90s kid.
What a tragic kingdom we're living in.
Right? Yeah, well, whole other thing. And then finally, The Roots re-releasing their first, some songs from their first album, Silent Treatment from The Roots.
I like it. Man, I was thinking about Carolyn Sermon, and so I thought, you know, I need a song about being alone or not being alone, and I thought the obvious move here was to go with Tiffany's I Think We're Alone Now, but I found a better song, Matt. I'm going with Hearts Alone, which is an absolute 80s ballad banger masterpiece. It's really, really something. You know, the chorus is, till now I always got by on my own. I never really cared until I met you. Now it chills me to the bone. How do I get you alone? It's killer. It's great. Matt, I'm going to revisit Parent Corner. I've got an issue. I've got a problem. And that is my 4-year-old daughter is now very, very deeply into Macklemore. And on Spotify, they don't have any of the radio edits. Yeah, I got to negotiate that. But she's helped me revisit a song that I had dismissed early on when it came out in the follow-up album to The Heist in 2016, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis came out with another album, the lead single of which was Downtown, which I remember hearing at the time and being like, huh, okay, and just kept going. But this is Zelma's jam right now, and she loves the music video because it involves, it has 8,000 different featured people. It's Macklemore, Ryan Lewis, Grandmaster Caz, Grandmaster Mel, Ryan Nally, and Moji. There's all these people, and it's one of those, like, it's just like epic Seattle shoot of all these people coming downtown. They're like kind of like West Side Story vibes to it. He buys a moped. It's incredible. It's incredible visually. But that is the image that I get and I hear in this story, Matt, as the whole town gathers around the door to be healed by Jesus. Everyone's getting on their mopeds and gathering. And it's got that, you know, like Same Love is really good because of the Mary Lambert part. It's got all these, it's so complex, like so many parts and so good. It's a really good song. Go back, listen to it. On YouTube, you can find the radio edit for your kids. Then Matt, of course, we got to find, I found two really good Grasshopper songs, Matt. I don't remember it. It's not particularly remarkable, but on the Beastie Boys, Intergalactic, which is the first Beastie Boys and only Beastie Boys album I've ever bought, two disc set. They have a song called Grasshopper Unit. It's not very good, so we're not gonna put it on the playlist, but the Mamas and the Papas have a song off of their 1971 album, called Grasshopper, and it's fine. It's a good, you know, it's definitely the best Grasshopper song ever recorded.
Laurel Canyon Zone. Amazing. Good stuff. Good playlist.
It's good. We got a good playlist here. Thank you, Carolyn, for being here with us on the podcast. How can people watch your, check out your recital?
Good question. it'll be
send a self-addressed stamped envelope to St. Aidan's Episcopal Church, 2425 Colorado Avenue, and we will send an invite to you. It'll be on the internet, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we're not quite sure what it's going to look like for if anyone will be able to attend live. But
based on what you told me in the front half of this podcast about spit coming out in multiple directions, I don't think I want to attend in person.
Well, it's your loss if you didn't want to be in the splash zone. So I don't know what to tell you.
In the new, we have a new music school. They built a new building. Do the auditoriums have like splash zone marked seats like SeaWorld?
They do. They fold up. If you like, I don't know if you went to a high school that had like bleachers that they like fold out like stairs. Yeah. There's a concert hall that has those now. So you can
create a splash zone
from the spit as much as you would like.
Here we go. Cool. Well, Matt, I'm really looking forward to next week. We get to talk about Valentine's Day. And we get to figure out what, you know, it'll be February 14th that Sunday and find out what the special texts are for Valentine's Day.
Amen. Looking forward to it.
Well, it's been real.
Real vinyl?